USA. We are live. It's Tuesday night, and here we are in the Real Reason USA studios. Jack, what a weekend we had, huh? Up to Auburndale Speedway, and then over to East Bay for the final night of the late models. A lot of fun.
Well, yeah, and then the next morning, I got up and went to Immokalee Drag Strip and watched these guys do 140 miles in an hour in the eighth of a mile.
Yeah, how was that?
It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was very cool.
How's that drag strip down there?
It's you know, of course, it's an eighth-mile facility, but it's very, very cool. I mean, it's at the airport, the Immokalee Airport, out in South Florida, man. I mean, you know,
that's from
it's out in what used to be swampland, you know. And but it's
Lee Collins is from.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. But yeah, it's a pretty. It was a pretty cool place, actually.
Yeah, and we got to see Billy Moyer win the final night of the East Bay late models, the Lucas Oil late models. He was going to be a guest tonight, but he was racing up in Volusia. Actually, you know what? Volusia rained out tonight.
Yep, yeah. It sure did.
Volusia rained out. East Bay rained out. And it's raining outside right now.
Yeah, it's pretty much wet all over Florida. But, you know, like the folks... I talked to a couple of, like one of the drivers that we're going to have on tonight, Alan Sippen, I believe his name is. They're facing ice storms. You know, we've got people fleeing from the north to come down here. And they had some pretty nasty weather over there on the east coast of Florida today. Some tornadoes tore up some things and made it for a nasty. People from up north who are down here on vacation got a glimpse of some of the nasty side of Florida weather that can happen from time to time.
Well, you know, I mean, every year during the Nationals, somewhere you get rained on.
It's just part of the deal.
Yeah. It's just part of Florida weather. So, Jack, looks like we got a full show tonight. Blake Eisenberg and Mason Mingus, they're both from the MMRA, the Mini.
You got me, man. You got the notes over there.
Yeah, I got the notes. Miniature Motorsports Racing Association. They're running their nationals up at Bronson Motor Speedway. I believe it's this weekend or next weekend.
This weekend. Yeah, they're on their way down now. We're going to be talking to them. Hopefully our cell phone connections are good because they're riding down one of those young men is riding down with his dad in the car, and the other one we'll be talking to from his home in Ohio.
And Donnie Howley.
We haven't talked to Donnie in quite a while.
Yeah, tell you what, you know that, Donnie is, he was over at Golden Isle Speedway, and he's made a few journeys over to East Bay, and of course, Donnie's on top of anything dirt, you know. Donnie knows dirt.
Yeah, Donnie always has known dirt. Known Donnie for quite a while. I tell you what, that show up at Auburndale Speedway this past weekend, man, what a packed house. It was good to be back up there at Auburndale. The place is just it's just beaming with excitement up there.
Well, yeah, and like we talked about last night, and we talked to some folks from up there last night on the Inside Florida show. It's the one thing that track has going for it is that they have a ton of kids, and I mean, I'm always talking about it, but that is the thing that stands out to me at that place. Other than the fact that it's a tight little quarter mile, I mean, the kids, it has more kids than any track that we go to.
And we got to see Don Nerone and Chuck Rush and all our friends there with the Fast Car Series. And
around East Bay, though, you know, go back to East Bay for a minute. You know, yeah. Who was that? Earl Pearson Jr. started last in the field or back in the like last row or something.
Right, right.
Came in second.
Yeah.
That was a journey, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the highlight of that racing deal. And then last night, boy, they only had like less than 20.
I think they only had 16 start
six, to feed. 16 410s
yeah.
coming to race. And of course, it was minus a considerable number of big names.
Well,
and,
World of Outlaws had decided that their guys can't run a show within 24 hours of running one of their shows or some silly thing like that.
Oh, no, Rick. Now, this has got to be a safety factor, right?
It's got to be safety.
Safety factor.
Yeah, it's got to be a safety deal. I mean, they just wouldn't do that for the hell of it.
You know, sometimes you wonder.
Yeah. I don't understand what safety's got to do with any of it.
Is it a safety thing? I just made that up. I have no idea.
No, why? I mean, what? It doesn't make any sense other than to hurt whoever the next person in line is. I mean, we'll see if they have to stick with that rule through the rest of the year.
But didn't they go from North Florida to Volusia?
That was the All-Star.
Oh, that was the All-Star.
That was not the World of Outlaws.
Oh, yeah. Sister Series.
Sister Series.
Yeah.
But see, it's a good thing that the All-Stars ran first and not the World of Outlaws, because then they wouldn't even been able to run at the same track that they were sitting at. Because the All-Stars ran first and then the World of Outlaws ran the very next night.
Go figure.
No doubt.
You know, at least we don't have steroid controversies. You know?
Yet. Not yet, anyway.
Tell you another one, a lesson learned. You know, we're always beating the drum about, you know, you never know who is coming to your track. And a lot of times employees at racetracks are a little nonchalant about how they deal with people. And quite frankly, at some racetracks that we've been to over the last few years, every once in a while you run into some folks at the racetrack and you wonder, why are they even working here?
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Because
you
never know who's coming and paying their money to come in.
Yeah.
And the promoters work hard and spend a lot of money to get people to come in. And we had a situation like this past week, which is typical. A media, pretty well-known media person, went to a local racetrack in Florida and complained to somebody about the bathrooms. They needed some attention.
Yeah.
And I don't need to go into the gritty details, needed some attention, and the employee said, not my problem. You know, and man, them kind of things just, they make you wonder. They shake your head.
Well, you know, 5.5 years I worked at DeSoto, and I know for a fact that, you know, I mean, there's some ups and downs at that racetrack, but I do know that we were all told that the customer came first regardless.
Yeah.
So, whether that always happened or not, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but, I mean, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be at any racetrack.
Yeah. So it should be at any business that services the public, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, but when a media person comes to your track, and we're not talking about a racing media person. We're talking about a, you know, out there in the real world that, you know, has control of the airwaves. When you,
real radio person.
Yeah, real radio people, you know, on clear channel type stations and that sort of thing. I mean, you make those people upset. It doesn't do good for word of mouth.
Does not bode well for you at all.
Yeah.
No, you know, you want to make them people comfortable. And besides that, I mean, you know, sanitary conditions and all that. And I mean, all the years we've been doing this, Jack, one thing that they've all always said about racetracks and what makes people comfortable at racetracks is a clean bathroom.
Especially for the women.
Especially for the women.
They might be the messiest, but you got to keep it clean for them. You got to keep women happy.
Got to. Or their husband. They're not going to let their husband.
Men
go.
Are easy. Give them some racing out there. Let them smell some oil. Give them a beer or, you know, some popcorn or some boiled peanuts. They're fine.
Give them a stall.
Give them a couple of good arguments to watch or maybe a fight here and there to get their, you know, keep them going and. They're fine. Women and children, you got to take care of them, man.
I saw that Kyle Busch was in the one of the modified races up at New Smyrna.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
How'd he do?
I didn't see any results from it yet, so we'll have to.
I don't know how he did.
New Smyrna rained out tonight.
We're going to be talking to our modified guy, Skip Wall, later on. You know, he covers the Southern Modified, Wayland Southern Modified Tour for us throughout the year. He's got an article he wrote about Hooters Pro Cup.
Yeah, I was going to read that today. I've just been so busy doing all kinds of different stuff today. Because there's parts of that that I'd like to. There's some things that I'm going to address later on in an article I'm going to write.
SouthernMotorRacing.com. Yeah. There's an article. The lead story is about the Hooters Pro Cup. And we're going to ask Skip some questions about that because some of the things weren't quite so kind. Kind. They were unkind.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, things haven't been real kind in the Hooters deal here lately, especially with our friends up there in the Super Cup Series.
Oh, that deal.
Who ran their first race ever at Hickory Motorsports Park. Now they can't race there.
Hopefully that gets strange around.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I mean, there is some things. We'll ask Skip Wall about those kind of deals. We're also going to talk to one of the new young ladies that's going to race in the Super Cup Series, Megan Rettenauer.
Right, right. Yeah. And tonight, I hear one of the popular figures in Florida motorsports racing is going to be moving on. Not going to name any names right yet, but he'll be moving on out of the state is what I'm hearing. So
who's that?
Who's
that?
Just a friend.
What's his initials?
He used to sell 50-50 tickets.
Oh, yeah.
He used to sell 50-50 tickets, and he moved up and got some big-time recognition, and now he's moving up to...
That's what we hear, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You could almost say he's going up to deal with The Rock.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. Some sad news this week. Jeff Firestein's father, Frank Firestein.
Very popular in the South Florida area.
Oh, yeah. Passed away this week. Go to Real Racing USA. Go to the Karnak Florida Stock Car Racing part of the forum. You can find all the arrangements and info for Frank Firestein. Well-liked guy here in Florida stock car racing, and Jeff, longtime racer around the area.
All right, we're going to try. We have a new little system we're working here tonight for our commercials and whatnot. We're actually using a backup system at the moment, but we're going to try to have a few commercials here, and then we're going to come back and go around the country. We're going to go to Ohio a little bit, North Florida for a little bit, North Carolina, and all the way out to Arkansas.
All right. We'll get out of the rain here in Florida. Real Racing USA Live.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Hi, I'm Josh Richards, driver of the number 25 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
In a beat-up van, out there living my dreams. Atlanta, Georgia was a whole lot looser than my old blue jeans. At the Electric Ballroom, on any Friday night, I
I was running on whiskey, singing my songs, looking for a fight. Back in the day, the music was better. It was loud and it was real, and we always thought it'd last forever. For every scar I wear, and even though my hair has turned a little gray, I'm still here. But I'm proud to say I was there back in the day. We were hungry then, but somehow we survived. It was us against the world, standing side by side. It wasn't for the money, we signed our lives away. Nobody asked any questions, it didn't matter anyway. Back in the day, the music was better. It was loud and it was real, and we always thought it'd last forever. For every scar I wear, even though my hair has turned a little gray, I'm still here, and I'm proud to say I was there back in the day. Every band was like a gang. We had our own tattoos. We bet everything we had. There was nothing left to lose. Hey! Back in the day, the music was better. It was loud and it was real, and we always thought it'd last forever. For every scar I wear, and even though my hair has turned a little gray, I'm still here. But I'm proud to say that I was there back in the day. Back in the day. Me and my old friends back in.
All right, Real Racing USA, we are back live. Skip, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Skip, how you doing, man?
This is Skip Wall, the one and only.
I understand you guys got some rough weather down there tonight.
Psh, we got a lot of rough things going on, man.
It's rough all the way around tonight, Skip.
It's a rough night, man.
They just announced in North Carolina that they had like 15 counties under tornado watch down in the Central Florida area. Yeah, I was thinking about you guys, and how's it going down there?
Well, I'm glad you were thinking about us, man.
Everything rained out tonight?
There's rain all over. It's a rainy night in Florida, man.
Well, we got some rain up here, but there's no racing up here yet. We're still waiting for March the 9th to come around. The season starts up here for the Super Stock Car Series here, so we're still having cabin fever, so... Down in Florida, they get to have all the fun right now.
Yeah, well, let's quit talking about the weather, man. Tell us about this article. What about the Pro Cup you wrote?
Well, I wrote an article about the USAR Hooters Pro Cup Series, and kind of told it like it was, and that's what Southern Motor Racing is all about, is telling it like it is. And they seem not to like it. Some of the fans don't like it. Some of the car owners don't like what's being done. But yet the best short track series of America, the USAR Hooters Pro Cup Series, seems to be having some problems now. And you know, it's sad to see that, Jack, because that is such a good series to race in, and being a development series, and you kind of hate to see it go by the wayside, or see it start to have its demise. And I guess you can see it happening right before your own eyes, and it's like nobody's doing nothing about it.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know all that much about it because, you know, we haven't really been covering the Pro Cup all that closely, just the basic races and stuff like that, and not going behind the scenes too much. But I was aware that they – I'm confused about what the TV schedule is. Maybe you can clear that up. And also, I didn't understand why you would send Southern drivers, especially these days in this economy and with the gas what it is and whatnot, to the Milwaukee Mile. I mean, it's a great place to go, no doubt, but –
Well, you know, they tout themselves as the best short track series in America, but yet they add on two big tracks to their schedule, and they take away their home track, Myrtle Beach. They take one of the dates away, but, you know, they add on the Milwaukee Mile, and then they add on Rockingham, and they take Rockingham, they put it on the championship, and no one's raced there. But what they did was they took the hardest track, Bristol, and they put it as a companion. I mean, companion event. Both series will run there, and then they take the Milwaukee Mile. And so now, however many drivers that they're going to have on their series, they're making them go travel all the way up to Milwaukee Mile, and you know it's. To the small driver with the budgets that they have, this virtually dwindled. You don't make that race in Milwaukee, and you got to come back home. It's just not fair. And making you run a Southern event way up there up north.
Well, that's what I mean. Why would you even call it a Southern event? That's the part. I mean, I can understand if it was a part of the championship series or something like that, but. It's a Southern race.
You know, I invite the Cox family to be on this show. Maybe they could give us some insight, or Paul Warner, their media director. You know, let them come out and explain it. But, you know, Jack, it's just, I mean, I'm telling it like it is. They keep everything hush-hush.
The Milwaukee race is a strictly Southern race, or it's a combination race?
It's a combination race.
Okay, because they're doing the same thing with the ASA in Missouri. That's a combination race.
Well, that's another one. It does.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Is it feasible? Heck no.
No.
And, you know, you're trying to get a sponsor. You tell me how you're going to get a sponsor when we struggled for so long to get a schedule made out. For this season, they waited till their last event last year to come up with a schedule. Now they don't release. We're 5 weeks away from their first race. We still don't know what their TV package is. We still don't know what their roster is, who's driving where. But yet, try selling that to a sponsor.
Well, I'll tell you, frankly. And this is, you know, we make no bones about it. Not that it's any big deal. I mean, you know, I obviously am involved with Karnak.com, and we covered the Hooters Pro Cup for a long time. And
Extensively.
And not that, you know, it's all that, you know. I mean, it's just nowadays it's just another website in the plethora of websites out there that cover racing. But, you know, there was a long time we were one of the ones covering it probably more than anybody. And, you know, the thing is that, When Mr. Robert Brooks, you know, one of the racing's dearest friends, passed away a couple of, you know, I made a decision then. I told you, I don't think this series will not last without that man in charge of this thing. And that's one of the reasons we said it's going to go away. And, you know, unfortunately, all things do change. I mean, nothing stays the same forever. And isn't this just part of the... You know, it going away.
It is, Jack. Mr. Brooks left the series good and intact with his will. Some say it was a 5-year deal. Some say that it was a 10-year deal. And I still can't get the USAR officials to come out and open and say, "Hey, our contract expires such such date."
Yeah, well,
you know, the team owners, the fans, the drivers, the sponsors, they all deserve a right to know when it expires or if they're making efforts to try to pick up another title sponsor.
Well, I'll tell you. Go ahead, Skip.
It's the most hush-hush thing that I've seen in a long time. You can't find out nothing. Everything is swept up under the rug. When they have controversies, they got to keep it up under the rug. You can't get nothing from the media. And, you know, controversy is what sells tickets. Just ask the man, the promoter, Dale Pinellas, at Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem.
That's your favorite WWF stadium, ain't it?
It is.
Your show, your place.
I was hesitant about covering the Wheeling Southern Modified Series. I was hesitant about going to Bowman Gray Stadium. And, you know, I asked them about it, and they just looked me in the eye and said, hey, we understand controversies. We have no problem with rivalries. It's these controversies and rivalries is what sells tickets. And as long as you keep it under control, then you're going to be okay. But I think the USAR looks at it kind of different. You have drivers that has went engines torn down after a race, and they won't make an announcement about it. So you don't know that someone has been disqualified or what. You have a driver that won a race in Myrtle Beach a couple of years ago that had his tires confiscated and found out that they were illegal, but they never did come out and say the exact what the violation was. They never came out and said what the penalty was. And that's just stuff like that that fans have a right to know, because it's their dollars is what pays for all this.
Well, yeah, but, you know, on the other side of this, you could have a pretty good website with tons of traffic going to it if all you did was cover series, that no traveling series, dirt and asphalt, grand old racing series that no longer exists. You could have a pretty good website that did nothing but cover things that didn't exist anymore. For instance, the Goodies Dash series. You see, there's a lot of, isn't this just part of the nature of the beast? Rick, what do you think, man?
Well, the Goodies Dash series is a good example. Another really good example is the Slim Jim series.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's a prime
absolutely.
Example of, just letting something go. I mean, it's sad, you know.
The original ASA series.
I remember going to Lakeland, you know, 40 cars qualifying, trying to get in the Hooters Pro Cup race. You know, it was just, it was big time. It was as big time as we got to short track racing. And when you move up, you know, the thing that Kenny Wallace said, you know, don't outgrow yourself, and that's exactly what they've done.
Well, Jack, I had to ask you on that note, what was it that Kenny Wallace said on Real Racing? What was it that Kenny Wallace said on one of the speed shows?
Well, I can't quote him exactly. We have that interview here, and we could play it a little bit later in this show if you want. But, basically what he was saying is this is a short track series. He said something to the effect of don't lose sight of your roots, where you came from. And he used that term, you know, don't lose sight of your roots.
And don't outgrow yourself.
He loved it the way it is.
Yeah.
Changed nothing.
Yeah.
What did they do? Changed it.
Changed everything.
I was just talking to a car owner. In fact, he would be a good person to talk to. He was quoting the expense of going to these races. I mean, you're always fooling yourself about the cost of racing. And Hooters officials know exactly what it takes to race. But they're not reaching out to help these guys by not coming out in open and saying what their TV package is, by showing what their driver roster is, waiting so late to show what the schedule is, and it's making it even harder to go out and obtain sponsorship. And it has to raise some feathers when you have 14 current and former Hooters Pro Cup drivers that entered this past weekend's race. in Daytona for the ARCA series. And it has to raise some feathers as to some of these drivers is switching over to the new supercar stock car series. I think that you're going to see this year is not going to be as good a year for USAR Hooters Pro Cup. And it's sad to see that. And
there was a time it was the most exciting thing, you know, because we do this at the short track level, local and traveling series at the short tracks. The people who do it, we talk to people such as yourself and people all over the country that you know, spend their time, their media time, covering these types of racing. It's so cool because you don't have all the pretense and all the high, big corporate stuff that gets in the way of the drivers. You can get up close. The fans can get up close to the drivers. People can get close to the drivers. The media can spend time with these guys. There's not the pressure of the NASCAR big machine.
But it still had the feel of that.
And it still has the feel of that.
It still had
exactly.
The feel of the big exactly. time. It still had the feel of the big time, absolutely. Yet it still had the short track appeal to it.
Absolutely. And the racing was just as damn good.
I mean, I go all the way back with Hooters when they were the late model. They were the pre-Sarah deal. They used to be, they were you know, late models and open wheel modifieds. Yeah. And it's what Rick Day took into the Sarah series. And then the Pro Cup evolved from that.
I never forget. I mean, I got tons of just things that pop out all the time about the races, Hooters races. I mean, one of the coolest things, Michael Rich, you know, one of the not only the most popular drivers that's racing the Pro Cup, just one of those guys. You know, he's the guy who say what's on his mind at any given minute as well. And he had qualified up near the front of the pole at St. Augustine Speedway, which is now closed, and. Old Fritz Augustine had sent four of them to the rear of the field because they didn't get they didn't get their cars out for the autograph session on his time.
Right.
So they sent
them
to
part of the rule.
That's part of the rule. So they sent him to the rear, and here comes Michael Rich bouncing back. His crew had pushed his car to the rear of the field, and he was walking back there with sort of a bouncing step. And I was kind of afraid to even look at him. And as I walked by him, I kind of shrugged my shoulders and said something. He says he had a big smile ear to ear. He said, "This is going to be fun." He won the damn race.
Yeah, well, Derek Kelly coming from two laps down at Lakeland.
That's right, exactly.
I was spotting for Derek Kelly that night. He would come from two laps behind.
Were you the reason?
I certainly did. I spotted for Derek Kelly in '99 when he came two laps down.
What a race.
I can still remember that Tarzan call that he was making when he made up the second lap.
That was exciting, man. I mean, that was way off the charts. And the people in the grandstands, hometown guy, you know.
Yeah.
And then he did it again with beating Buggy Pletcher.
Yeah. Man,
the hometown guy.
Beating by a half a bumper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there you go. I mean, USAR has to do a better job of promoting the series for it to survive. It needs all the exposure that it can get.
It ain't in the wine sipping, cheese tasting, all that good stuff. You know, the boardrooms is not where it happens. It happens out on the track, and it happens in the pits, and it's, you know, in the grandstands with the real fans. And if you don't connect up with the fans, you're just going to lose the game, period.
Absolutely, and you know, one of the most well-respected names was Fritz Augustine, and, you know, he just retired from the series. He will be sorely missed.
Yeah.
Joe Schmaler moved on over to the Supercar Stock Car Series. I think he's going to be missed from over there.
You got a driver. You're not going to tell me who he is. You told me you wasn't going to tell me who he is. I guess I ain't going to be able to get that out of you. But you had a driver lined up that you want us to talk to next week. Is that right?
Yeah, I've got a guy that I want to line up, and I want to talk to him about this and see if he can add something to this story.
From the driver's point of view.
From driver's point of view, from the coroner's point of view, spectator's point of view.
Takes a little bit of guts for a driver to do that, too, because remember 2 years ago, it wasn't even 2 years ago. It was a year ago. We had a driver. He wasn't allowed to be on Real Racing USA. We were starting a Hooters Pro Cup show. We do the O'Reilly ASA show every week. We feature the ASA late model guys. And we get tons of promotion out for these guys, help them promote their sponsors. The show's very well received, very well listened to. We were doing the same thing for Hooters Pro Cup. Somebody from Naturally Fresh put a clamp on it and wouldn't let their driver come on our show. We said, to hell with that. We're not even going to mess with
it. Close the door.
Close the door.
And the doors are closing everywhere. Look what they did to Michelle Theriault and Glock.
Do I need to remind you of a certain show that was doing live updates and credentials got denied, and that was a biggie.
Lou Lauer over there with his what's the name of that race for USARfans.com? He's done a good job over the years, but you know, it's time he got off the stick and started putting something out besides just the the pap that comes out of the boardroom.
You know, I sent a copy of my story to Mr. Lauer, and I gave him a copy of the story and asked him for his consideration about whether he wanted to run or not, who to give the credits to, and felt free to change the story as he pleased, and he chose not to run it.
Well, that's his choice.
There were other sites that ran the story, so kind of disappointed at that, but...
Well, you're just trying to... I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to open some eyes and get people talking about it, because the bottom line, we don't want to see Hooters Pro Cup go away. We want to see Hooters Pro Cup kind of get back to where it was a few years back.
Absolutely.
With the excitement and the fan appeal and all of that. And, you know, that's all that people, I think, out there really want. That, you know, sometimes when... You got to listen to the people that are griping sometimes, because sometimes they got something to say.
Yeah, you can learn about what the feedback is. And, you know, the fans are speaking out of what they want to see, but if you can't deliver the product, then they go shop elsewhere.
Why don't you go line us up some folks, and we'll come back. Maybe we'll hit a little bit of a positive note next time with this whole deal, and see what we can dig up, man.
Okay. And
what's that website? What's that website?
www.southernmotorracing.com.
All right.
That article's right there on the front page. It's a good one, too, Skip.
And listen, guys, I'm not trying to pick on them. I wanted to see this series promoted. I want to see it survive. I want to see it go, because it's a good series. It's absolutely a good series. They have a TV package. It needs to be tweaked, but they have a TV package, and you've seen a lot of people leave. Their answer to it is, well, we got other people coming, but it's not like what it was, and it could be done a whole lot better.
All right, Skip. Thanks.
My 2 cents.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for your input, man.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, Skip.
Let's get out of here, Rick. We'll be back in a minute.
All right.
Ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star Race Car Bodies. 5-star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA late model series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
We're back on a rainy night here in Florida. Supposed to be racing all over the place from New Smyrna all the way down here to East Bay Raceway Park, but everything is kind of washed out tonight. Who we got with us now, Jack?
Well, we have one of the washees or whatever you call them, one of the guys who got washed out tonight. We have Jerry Benner, who's over there on the other coast of Florida and talking to us by phone. Jerry's been involved in the promotion and putting together a big event at coming up Friday night at New Smyrna. Jerry, clear your throat, man. Relax. It's just talking to us on the phone. This is Jerry Benner from over there at New Smyrna. What's happening, man?
Hey, I'm trying to relax, but, yeah, like I told you earlier, I am so nervous talking on either the phone, the radio, or in public, but I'm going to have to get over this because I've got a lot of people to talk to on Friday.
Got that right. You got a bunch of people to talk to. Just give us some of the names of the folks that are going to be at this reunion.
Oh, we've got some Hall of Famers that from the Northeast. This is it's basically about the Northeast Modified scene. And we've got some Hall of Famers as far as drivers. There's guys like Dutch Hogue, Bill Wimble, Bug Stevens. I heard today Bentley Warren is possibly going to be there. I heard this afternoon also that Pete Hamilton has decided to come and join us.
Good.
Car owners like the famous Turner brothers from up there. If you look back into history and you see an orange 18 car that's in a lot of victory lanes, a guy named Don Turner will be there as far as a car owner. Bob Garbarino, who won the Whelen Modified Series Championship last year for the first time after, oh, God, he's got to be almost 40 years into this business and finally won a championship out of it. Bob Judkins, who built the first Pinto Modified and changed the entire face of the sport. He's going to be there. Altogether, we've got about close to 90 different drivers and famous car owners from the past coming out to this thing.
Yeah, and we're going to be there. We're going to try to do a live deal at the reunion party for a couple hours. If we're not able to do that, depending on the logistics over there, we're certainly going to record the whole affair, and it'll be available on Real Racing USA. And that's going to be a good time, Jerry.
Yeah, I really think it is. It started out as just an idea that was kicking around in my head. I talked to actually one of my big motivators out of this whole thing is Mark Keeler, who is now the announcer at New Smyrna Speedway. And by the way, I got to plug in for Mark. He's doing a fantastic job as far as announcing goes. And he got me kind of thinking that maybe this was the right time of the year to do this thing, and I threw the idea out there, and people have jumped all over it, and the word has spread like wildfire, and it's doing really, really well.
Well,
way beyond my expectations.
Mark,
thank you for pumping me up on this.
Well, I tell you, Mark is. I've always thought that's what Mark should be doing. I've always thought he should be in announcing because he has the enthusiasm and the eagerness and. And he's just a wealth of, he retains the knowledge, you know, he remembers so much stuff, and all that stuff, as Rick can attest to, comes in handy when you're being an announcer.
No doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely. And he makes it look so easy. He's walking up and down the stands and talking the whole time, and it's almost effortless for him. He does a great job at it.
But I'll tell you, there's no doubt that this is a very popular thing for you guys to be doing, because I'll tell you, last year, here on Real Racing USA, we had Pete Hamilton on with us, and we had Lou Boyd and Bug Stevens, and those interviews are still getting every month. There are dozens and dozens of people who log on almost a year later to listen to those interviews. So, a very, very popular deal.
Oh yeah, they're absolutely legends in this thing, and you know, not everybody in the country had grown up on the modified scene, but the people that did grow up with that area, or the people that look back into their history, will find so much history of what these guys are all about. They've got championships all up and down the coast. These are guys that, you know, raced 5, 6, 7 times a week, slept in their car on the way from one track to the other, winning championships at 3 or 4 different speedways in the same year. These guys had dedicated their lives to being race car drivers, and those are my heroes. That's the people I look up to in my life. I don't look up to football stars. I don't look up to baseball heroes. I look up to these race car drivers, and it doesn't matter to me if whether they're never won a heat race or they won 100, 200, 300 features in their life. It doesn't matter. If they were out on the track, they were important to my life, and that's what I want to tell each and every one of these people when they get out there.
Jerry, tell us a little bit how you got these guys together, how you got them organized and coming to this show.
Well, that's I got to give a lot of credit to all of them. I put the seed out there. I sent a lot of emails. I did a lot of phone calls. A guy that lives up in Buffalo, New York, named Mark Southcott, does a radio show or a reunion every year at Lancaster Speedway in Buffalo, New York, where I was born, one of my original tracks that I grew up at. And I saw what he was doing, and I called him one day for some advice, and he sent me a mailing list of the people that he knew. And just between emails and sending the word out and guys talking to each other, and it just snowballed. You get a couple guys involved, and other guys start saying, oh, if this guy's coming, I got to come. Oh, this guy's here, I got to tell this story. So it just keeps rolling and rolling. And yeah, I figured that by this point that it would kind of have tapered off and slowed down a little bit. I still get calls every single day of people in.
Amazing, man. And what a night to do it on the Richie Evans Memorial Night.
Yep, that was, again, that was Art Keeler's idea. I didn't really think about that being the perfect timing, but he said, you know, hey, everybody's down here during that Richie Evans race. It's the biggest race in Speed Weeks for the modified guys. What a great time to do that. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. So I started spreading the word and putting it out there, and people just jumped on board. We started the idea about having a vintage race car show of going along with this. And one of the first people that called, a guy named Jeff Yoder, was a dirt car modified owner up in Pennsylvania way back in the past. But he now lives in Florida, and he has two restored Richie Evans original race cars. And he said, hey, I'd love to be part of this thing if we can work that out. I said, you know what, that's a good idea if we can kind of build that side of this thing too. So I threw the idea out there about bringing some vintage race cars. Again, it snowballed. More people kept saying that, hey, I got a car like that. I got one of these. I got an asphalt modified. I got an old, you know, Gilhern modified and such. And again, it took off way beyond my dreams.
And we're talking here with Jerry Benner, who's helping promote a modified reunion of famous modified drivers from the Northeast. And there's so many people from the South. It's amazing to me. One thing I've been watching is this, this promotion for this thing has gone on for months and months now. It's funny how all you guys moved out here over the years from up there, and there's still this connection that's as solid as a rock.
Oh, absolutely. It was a time and a place that people, whether you're in your 40s like myself or in your 80s like some of the people that are coming, you never forget. It was a magical time. It was a great time and place to be a race fan, as a race driver. It'll never be the same. We all wish it would. We all wish it could. But it never will be the same. And we all want to get a chance to bump into each other again and tell some BS stories, and there's going to be a lot of those going around.
When you were naming the names...
If nothing else, I can guarantee that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you were naming the names, there was a guy that you were going pretty fast there for me, that you said he changed the whole face of the modified racing. Who was it? Was that Bob
Bob Judkin.
Yeah.
And he is still he was a car owner back in the 60s with drivers like Eddie Flemke and Gene Bergen, and Ronnie Bouchard ran for him. And Actually, I was joking around with him last night. I said that the list of drivers that haven't driven for you is shorter than the list of the drivers that have. He's been around for a long, long time. He is now probably close to 20 years now. He's been in Florida and has a Florida modified that they run out at New Smyrna and Orlando Speedways Orlando Speed World on occasion. And he keeps the traditional red color with the number 2X on the side. And what happened was he was the first guy that put a Pinto body on his cars when everybody was still running coupes and coaches and Valiants and Falcons and that type of stuff. He built a Pinto, and it went out, and he kind of smoked everybody. So everybody started building Pintos. And today, they still have that same basic body shape. It has changed from the basic Pinto design. Now it looks more like a Cavalier, which started back in 1980, but it hasn't changed that much from the very early 70s. It changed again up in right around 1980 with the Cavaliers, but the look of the modified was dedicated to him. He was the one that started it. He changed everybody's opinion on what goes fast, what looks good, and to this day he's still at it. He's still a character too.
Let me ask you, Jerry, you've been down in Florida a long time, and you obviously you go to a lot of the racing in the Sunshine State. And, you know, you also travel around the country usually a couple times a year and take in asphalt and dirt races. What is the difference? What are some of the key differences that you see between the Northeast racing and what you see in the South?
Common rules. That's the biggest difference. Down here, you've got so many different classes and so many different rules. And up there, there is quite a few different classes, but a lot of tracks run the exact same rules from place to place to place. And they've learned to work together as far as scheduling big races during the middle of the week that nobody will schedule against, point funds that all of the tracks kind of kick into along the way to pay a championship point fund at the end of their series at the end of the summer. It's just a lot more cooperation as far as keeping things, I wouldn't say affordable, because that's kind of a crazy word in the racing business in the first place, but it makes it to where there's so many parts and pieces that are applicable to different classes that, of course, the top guys are going to get the best of parts and the latest equipment, but when it passes down, you can build, you know, a perfectly competitive car for half the price of a new one. Down here, it seems like you either have to go first class in the first place or you're out to lunch completely. And that I see that as a problem down here. It's not unique to Florida, but I think that it's what works up in the Northeast, is that a lot of tracks run the same type of cars, same type of classes. Parts can be passed around from division to division. And you're able to run on a budget. You might not be a winner, but you can be the regular average working Joe and still get out there and race once a week if you like, twice a week if you want to, three times if you really are dedicated. And even a lot of midweek shows, holidays, that type of thing. Down in Florida, Saturday nights is it. Two tracks in the state on Fridays, none on Sundays, Saturdays is it. So everybody's a one-night-a-week racer, and their used parts aren't any good for anybody else. Once they're wore out, they have no value.
Yeah. One of the things that has always struck me, you know, because, I mean, I got involved in racing, like, in the mid-90s, and, you know, I was not around 30 years ago watching this sort of stuff, you know, and it just always amazes me, and it's always been curious to me when you go to a racetrack and you hear people talking about, you know, at this track they talk about the guys who used to race there, some famous, some not famous but well known in their communities and so forth. But at the tracks in Florida, there's almost no recognition of what went on before by the tracks themselves. In other words, the histories of the tracks are not promoted by the tracks themselves. they're promoted by people like yourself and a little bit like what we try to do a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's just part of the game, or is it different in other parts of the country?
That's a good question, and it's kind of a might even be kind of a trick answer. I wouldn't say it's dedicated. It's not a track specific or a region specific type of thing, but it seems like the some of the tracks that are most successful kind of feed off of their past. You buy a track program, there's a page from the past type of thing in there, showing some of the older cars and where some of the drivers that ran there back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, where they went to from there. You know, all these guys that are NASCAR stars, guys that went to Indy, they started somewhere.
Yeah.
And the tracks that are real successful are the ones that don't forget about the past. That's what got the track into the present. That's what got their stars from the regular Saturday night guy up to NASCAR. And a good example was my local track up in Rochester, New York, Spencer Speedway. Jeff Bodine somewhat started his career there. He did run a couple tracks before that, but it was the big step up away from his home track. And, you know, he started becoming successful, and he was able to move on to other places. And people could pump that up that, hey, Jeff Bodine's coming to town. Jeff Bodine's going to be here this week. And then, you know, here we are 30 years later. They've still got a page in the program showing Jeff Bodine running there in 1971 or whatever the case might be. They don't let people forget that these stars that you know of, they raced here in the past. New Smyrna Speedway does a pretty good job about that. East Bay does a pretty good job about that.
Yeah.
But most of the other tracks, you don't see much as far as looking back at the past, seeing where the sport evolved from, where some of these, you know, local boy makes good type of situations came from.
Yeah, I would always think, I would always kind of thought there it would just make sense to have a place at the track that was, you know, where there was, you know, photographs or whatever, memorabilia that sort of showed that. And like things like, you know, having once a year, you know, what old timers night or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Where you pay tribute to that sort of stuff and keep it alive, because it seems to me that it's such a rich heritage, you know, and it does. I think it makes it's like what feed, like you said, feeding off the past. I think that's the best, probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, I was looking at an old program just this afternoon, as a matter of fact, from Lancaster Speedway up in Buffalo, New York. And once a year, they would do Kodak Night. Kodak was a big employer up in the area, of course, but they would have Kodak Camera Night. And they would have all the race cars come out onto the front straightaway, and people could get down there and take pictures with their favorite driver, get autographs and whatever, what have you. And I was amazed at this picture. They're showing the whole front straightaway. There must be 50 cars, 50, 60 cars out there, two or three different divisions, and there's literally thousands of people mobbed around these people to get up close and personal.
Sure.
And we don't get that very much down here.
Yeah.
Part of the problem, I think, is that there's so many divisions that you can't let people just go to the pits when, you know, when they want to go see their favorite driver. They have to wait till the entire show's over before they go over there. But nobody actually encourages it. Nobody actually, the announcers, the track doesn't say, hey, go over, you know, the checkered flag's done, we're going to open up the front stretch, go over there, meet your favorite driver, get an autograph, get a picture, set your little boy behind the wheel of the car, let him twist the wheel a little bit. That made fans out of people like me.
Yep.
And you don't see that very much.
Right.
They don't really discourage it, but they don't encourage it as much as I think they should.
Well, what you're doing here this coming weekend, Friday night, is certainly in line with that, and it's going to be a good time, I'm sure. What time? Give us the particulars of the event, Jerry.
Well, the reunion itself is going to be from 12 o'clock noon till 5 o'clock. The racing program at the Speedway starts at 7:30. We're going to have a section of the grandstands, or you know, a piece of the grandstand kind of set up for the reunion guests and the race drivers and such. And during the course of the program, we're going to introduce, you know, a group at a time and give people a chance to come down and say hi to people that maybe they've never met before, maybe they just read about before, maybe never even heard of before. But just a chance to walk up to somebody and shake their hand and say, yeah, thank you for being a racer. Thank you for making this sport what it is today.
And the actual reunion is going to be at a, there's going to be some tents and whatnot out in the parking lot in the grassed in parking lot area.
Yeah, there's going to be, well, of course, bringing the radio show out there, which is going to be a big part of it, and there's going to be interviews with everybody, and a lot of it's going to be mingling around and listening to stories.
There you go.
It's not real fancy. It's not real, you know, high class, but we're.
Oops. I think the magic of the cell phone.
Yeah, I think his battery died.
Yeah, I'll bet it did. Jerry Benner, who's always it's always a pleasure to talk to him. And, you know,
Verizon 118 that, on the message.
You know, the funny thing is he really does. He kind of is very, very shy about doing these things, but as you can see,
once he opens up, he's
I done. Tell you, that's what I
told him. As long as Don Nerone ain't in the room.
Yeah. But Jerry, that was wonderful, man. Great job, Jerry. You filled us in on the whole deal, and Friday night and Saturday night, too. This weekend at New Smyrna Speedway is big. They got the, of course, the reunion in the afternoon, the Richie Evans Memorial Modified race that night,
right.
Friday night. Then on Saturday, you have the big Pete Orr
Memorial
125 super late model race, and then you could get bored by Daytona or something.
Yeah, and Daytona Sunday.
Yeah, Daytona Sunday. So,
David Ruderman qualified for the race. He's in.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Qualified third.
Good for
him. Or fourth.
Good for him.
Qualified fourth.
Let's take a break, man, and see what we – I don't know what we're coming back. Oh, I think we're going to talk to Megan Rettenauer.
All right.
We'll see where we go here.
We'll be back here on a rainy night on Real Racing USA Live.
City Racing. It's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Tuesday, Real Racing USA Live. Tuesday night, here we are. Jack, who's on the line with us?
Hang on a minute here. Let me. We're having fun back here with this the sound deal tonight. But get this turned up. All right, good deal. We have on the line with us Blake Eisenberg and Mason Mingus, both of whom are going to be at, we believe, that both of these young men are going to be at Bronson Motor Speedway for the, what was that?
The Miniature Motorsports Racing Association Winter Nationals.
And I believe Blake is cruising down the highway, and Mason is warm and comfy in Ohio. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
All right. So is it true both of you guys are going to be in Bronson Motor Speedway for this weekend's event?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Mason, you're still in Ohio, right?
I'm in Tennessee.
Or Tennessee, I'm sorry. I guess, Blake, are you from Ohio?
No, we're both from Kentucky.
Oh, I don't know where I got Ohio. Somewhere I got Ohio going on this thing. But I'll tell you what Mason, tell us about the event that you're going to be racing in.
Well, we just moved up to Baby Grand. We have a national race every year in Florida about the same time. It's a triple header. We practice all day Wednesday, tomorrow, and we race Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Now tell everybody what a Baby Grand is.
It's a three-quarter version of the quarter-down version of NASCAR. It's about 125 is our top speed.
And what's it powered by?
It's 1300cc Yamaha engine.
So it's got you said it's got a top speed of 125?
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's
holy
cruising.
Cow. Blake, have you raced at Bronson before? If so, tell us your experience there.
I raced at Bronson last year in a mini cup. I set the pole down there, and it's a pretty fun track down there. They got a lot of good facilities and stuff. Fun place to race.
Yeah, I bet that's just kind of like a little Bristol for you guys, huh?
Yeah, it's got good banking, good long straightaway. It's a real wide and forgiving track.
That's not what they say in late models, but...
yeah, that's not what they say in late models at all.
But you can get up to some pretty good speed on that track.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how many years have you been doing this, Blake?
This will be my fourth season in motorsports. I watched my dad race all my life. And started out at a little local go-kart track and finally decided I wanted to move up into a real stock car and got into NMRA and mini cups.
What about you, Mason?
I raced quarter midgets. I started when I was 7, and we raced that 2 or 3 years, and then we moved up into mini cups, and we raced that for 3 years. Last year was our last year.
Now, on all actuality, moving from a quarter midget, you're moving up into a mini cup? What's the difference? Is it speed? Is it the full body? What is it?
Oh, well, quarter midgets, we didn't, probably did like 30 miles an hour, and it was open wheeled. When we moved up into mini cups, it was a full body, and you run around 75, 80.
And what's the biggest track that you run on?
We probably ran on, the biggest track was last year in Virginia.
Is there actual there's actual drafting in these cars, right?
Yes, sir. You actually can draft. I mean, like, you couldn't in quarter midgets, but that was a big difference too.
So Blake, what's the difference between a Baby Grand and a mini cup?
Well, mini cup is a half scale down Nextel Cup car, Sprint Cup car, and Baby Grand is a 2/3 scale version of it. Mini cup has about, we run off a 13 horsepower Honda that when do some modification to it and get it race ready, we're probably pushing about 20, 21 horsepower out of it. And the Baby Grand has a 1300cc Yamaha in it and probably pushing about 140 in it.
Wow. That's some serious horsepower for a little car.
Weight ratio is 10-1, or the weight to horsepower ratio is 10-1.
Whoa, that's cruising. Now, the MMRA, that's a national sanctioning body. Where do you guys race? What kind of where around the country do you race?
All over the country.
Go ahead, Mason, you answer it first.
We went all the way to Canada last year. We didn't actually get to race in it because we were in mini cups. But, we go to Florida and Virginia, and we went to Ohio, Iowa. Our home track is Bowling Green, Kentucky. And we went to Wyoming the year before that.
Wow, that's some serious traveling. What about you, Blake?
Yeah, I mean, MMRA, everybody kind of gets together and races in the same places. Everywhere he said.
Well, when you're racing in these mini cups, there's a couple of little traveling series in Florida that races, the mini cup traveling series, and they go around to the various tracks and put on shows. What kind of car counts or fields do you get up there in those classes?
Average on Friday night, we'll have about 10, 15 at the Nationals. There's 20, 25 most of the time in the bigger divisions. Junior Pro is only a three-year-old division, but I think we're going to have a good car count this year. We'll have about 15 cars running.
I'll bet it's fun when you have 20, 25 cars out there.
Oh, yeah, it's a blast. I love working the traffic. I hate being out there all by myself.
Yeah, because that's what we're always saying, It's almost a shame that the two series in Florida don't race together, because if you put them together, boy, it'd be something every weekend everywhere they went, because there'd be 25 cars at least. Because, it's fun to watch even when there's like 12 to 15, but on the smaller tracks, you get a quarter-mile track, it's kind of fun to watch. So, Blake, what do you see after you move out of this class? Are you looking to race in something a little bigger?
I'm hoping maybe we might move into late models after I get the baby grands down and pat and getting used to using the brakes and the turns and everything. And,
well, put
ASA maybe in a couple years or something.
Yeah. And how about you, Mason?
Just about that. Hopefully once we get out of Junior Pro and run baby grands for a little bit, get that, like you said, it was a big difference having to brake and turn and stuff. Usually you just hold the gas down. We hope, hopefully, maybe move to late models or something in a couple of years.
Yeah. So now you guys race against each other, right?
Yes, sir. We don't bump and hit each other or try to wreck each other. We kind of work together to get each other.
That's what I was getting at.
Rubbin's racing, right? Blake, it says here that you're an honor student.
Yeah.
So, how much time do you actually physically work on your car?
Every Saturday I'm there from about 9 o'clock in the morning until about 8:30 at night.
Wow, that's some serious work. Go ahead.
In the summer, I'll usually come down. My dad works with Mason's dad, the team owner, Donnie Mingus, and with Team Construction, our good sponsor. And I go up there usually every day in the summer that I can and work until about 6 till 7.
And Mason, what kind of setups do you have? Is there some serious setup work on these cars?
We work on them all winter. We get to set up, tow and stuff like that down. Once you get to the track, we adjust gears and stuff. And, you got to make some little adjustments to what track you're running. And, Gardner Racing, NB Racing, we both work on the cars and they help us out. And so we get set up down in the shop mostly, and then you work on little stuff at the track.
That's cool. There's some bad-looking race cars, man, for being the small cars that they are. And I worked at DeSoto Speedway for a while, and we had them there. It's like they're on Daytona. It's a 3/8-mile track, and these guys get to draft, and they're 4 or 5 deep drafting, and they get up to speed. It's just an awesome sight to watch these guys run.
So where you guys, Blake, where are y'all actually at right now?
We are getting ready to cross over the state line into Florida. It's coming out of Georgia. We had a little delay on the way. A trailer had a flat tire. We left home at about 7-ish. So getting here a little late, but it's all right.
Yeah, you just had a little caution, a little stop under caution there. Huh?
You hit the rain yet?
No, not yet.
It's coming.
It's coming. You know, it's a rainy day. Hopefully tomorrow will be a little bit different. We have one of those rare days in Florida where it rained all day long everywhere.
Yeah.
But well, I'm glad you guys had a chance to spend some, you know, talk to us here a little bit, and wish you the best of luck this weekend over there at Bronson. Great place, and it's a great place to go race. And stay in touch with us. Let us know about your successes and stuff.
Right.
All right.
Hey,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
And Diamond Equipment. And we hope to, you know, run the team structure car up front this year. Try to get a win in Florida.
All right.
Good deal.
Mason, you have something there?
Thank you.
That was it.
That was it? All right.
All right, guys. Thanks for spending some time with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, man.
All right. Have a good night, you guys.
Hey, that's Blake Eisenberg and Mason Mingus.
All right. That's pretty interesting stuff, man. I mean,
they go fast, man.
Oh, yeah, they do go fast.
And
know?
It's not cost. It doesn't cost all that. You know?
Yeah, but I was looking on Blake's website here, and they've got the sponsorship package up, and it's like the primary sponsor, entire hood, both sides of the upper rear quarter panels of the car, 60% of the trailer, along with front and back driver's fire suit, $25,000.
Say that again now.
Sponsorship information, primary sponsor, entire hood and both sides of the upper rear quarter panels of the race car and TV panel, also 60% of the trailer, along with front and back of the driver's fire suit, $25,000.
That's hefty.
That's hefty. That's some serious sponsorship. But then again, you got to look where these guys, you know, you're going to get your exposure out there. Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Oklahoma, Virginia, North Carolina, and Ohio, as well as Beach Bend Raceway and Bowling Green, Kentucky. So these guys get around, man. And they're also Speed. They're on Speed Channel, which Speed is really expanding. The girl from Speed was out there Saturday night at East Bay interviewing Billy Moyer.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some pictures of that. So, as we get ready to have our next guest, don't forget the Winter Nationals continue at East Bay Raceway Park. The Modifieds come to town Thursday.
In Volusia.
In Volusia. Of course, Volusia's got the UMP late models and the World of Outlaw late models. Kicking back in tomorrow, and New Smyrna Speedway, and of course Bronson Motor Speedway with the Miniature Motorsports Racing Association.
I'll tell you what, I remember I was talking about Ohio, Rick.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to see if this is Ohio. Megan Rettenauer, is this Ohio that we're talking to you from?
Yes.
All right. I kept trying to make our other guests who were just on from Ohio. I knew we had somebody from Ohio on. How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
We're fine. And welcome to Real Racing USA Live. Now, you are going to be racing in the Super Cup series in North Carolina this year, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to race in the Super Cup series and the Ark and Lincoln Water Truck series.
Okay, now give us a little thumbnail of what have you raced in to get to this point?
I started out at the age of 5 in quarter midgets, and I raced those for 7 years, and I moved up into the Bandolero series, and I raced those for, I believe it was 2 years, and then I moved up to the Legends, and I raced those for 2 years, and I raced ARCA trucks last year, and I did, like, 2 races in the Super Cup series.
Wow, ARCA trucks. What tell us about the ARCA trucks?
They have a 6-cylinder engine with a 4-speed transmission.
And are they scaled down a little bit?
Yeah, they're slower than the Super Cup, definitely.
Well, yeah, they're smaller than, like, say, a Craftsman truck.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. What? So you spent 2 years in Legends?
Yeah.
How did you do in the Legends?
My first year, in points I finished fourth. I was the first female in the top 10 and the youngest in the top 5. And then the last year that we raced it, we only raced like 10 races, I think. And so I wasn't really like racing to be in like points standing.
Yeah.
Now, Megan, you did some of that indoor racing too, haven't you?
With like quarter midget?
Yeah.
Indoor race? Yeah.
What's that like?
Indoors?
Yeah.
Indoors is always challenging. I mean, there was everybody that came from everywhere, like, honestly, and all the good competition there. So it was hard to make it to the A main.
Have you done any testing in the Super Cup car yet?
Yeah, actually, we raced 2 races in the Super Cup car.
And how'd you do?
The first one we went was Hickory, and we broke something in the rear end. I forget what we broke. And that was on, like, lap 2. And then we went to Tri-County, and we raced, and I led, like, 42 of the 50 laps.
Wow, pretty good. You know, that's a big step up from the smaller, the trucks and the quarter midgets and the Legends. That's a pretty heavy car.
Yeah, it's very heavy and a lot more power, definitely.
So what did you do? Did you do anything special to get prepared for it?
Not really. This year I'm working out, though, to try to get more strength to be able to make it through 100 laps because it definitely makes you tired.
But did you feel comfortable in the car, though?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have a lot to learn still, but, I mean, I think working with Martin, I can perform very well in the series this year.
That's a couple of top-notch guys to be working with.
Yeah.
Who are you working with?
Martin Nesbitt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. So how is it that you became interested in racing? I mean, by the time you were 12 years old, you had a lot of experience racing quarter midgets. Why did that interest you as opposed to that's not normally what young ladies do?
My dad actually raced when he was little, and his dad raced. So, I mean, he kind of started me out when I was young, and it's just kind of been my thing ever since.
Well, the thing that I noticed about you, Megan, is you're used to running up front, aren't you?
I try. I definitely try. I mean, it's challenging sometimes, but my dad supplies the best equipment he can for me, and sometimes it's able to get the job done.
Well, 3 consecutive quarter midget track championships, Buckeye Nationals Bandolero champion, and Great Lakes Bandolero champion. That's some pretty good stuff right there.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Rick.
How did you get involved in the ARCA truck?
The ARCA truck. Let's see here. We've seen them run at Kentucky Speedway because we raced the Legend there, and we've seen them run. And I wanted to try to kind of move up to something, but we didn't know what quite like would not be a huge step, but a big enough step to learn from. So we found that would be the best series to go with.
What do you think is going to be the toughest part about this deal in the Super Cups running it the whole year? I mean, obviously, you're going after a championship, right?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I have a lot to learn about big cars. I mean, they're a lot heavier. And, I mean, it does take a lot out of you to run. I'm running, like, 100 laps this year. So, I mean, that's a lot different than running in Legends. You run 25 laps. So, I mean, I have a lot to work on this year.
Yeah. When you come off, do they come off the corner for you pretty good at those tracks in Carolina, or are they slow?
Coming off the corner?
Yeah.
The first time I ever drove the car, it scared me to death coming off the corners. I mean, it's so powerful compared to anything I've ever driven before.
Yeah, imagine. So, these are like the same old things. I mean, they're like old Bush cars, right? A lot of these cars?
Hooters banned the metal bodies.
Right.
So that's what we're running, is a Hooters car with a metal body.
Yeah. Amazing. Now, are you involved in a developmental program, or not?
Yes, I am.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm going to be running with Martin Nesbitt next year.
And how's that going to work out? I mean, what are you going to be running, just the Super Cup?
Yeah, just the Super Cup car.
Where do you hope to go from there?
I still have a lot to learn, but I'd like to qualify for maybe a couple of Hooters Pro Cup races if I could, to see if I can make it in.
That's cool. Who are some of your sponsors there, Megan?
We are still seeking sponsors. I mean, I know everybody is, but that's one of our big things. You can contact us at MeganRittenhour.com if anybody's interested.
What's your website?
It's MeganRittenhour.com.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, tell us about you've had some cameras following you around of late. Tell us what you can about that.
All right, I'll tell you what I can. The show is called Fast Girls, and it's about three female drivers, and I'm in it, a girl from Florida and a girl from Illinois, and they follow us around like they came to one of my ARCA truck races, and we all got together at the Lynn St. James Winner in the Winner's Circle, and they followed us around there, and they just kind of follow us around and show what we do as race car drivers.
What's that like, having a camera following you around?
I don't know if it's a good advantage or a bad advantage, because at the truck race when they came, I got wrecked. So I'm not quite sure if it's a good one or a bad one, but it's interesting, I guess.
Huh. And now this is a show that's going to be coming out later on sometime?
Yeah, it should be out in the springtime. You should be able to see it in the springtime.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, we wish you the best in this this deal up there in the Super Cup Series. And we know Joe Smalling and his partners up there are working hard to make this a really good series and an affordable series where people can get, such as yourself, can get some seat time, and some veterans can have an inexpensive place to come keep their skills sharp. So it's thank you for spending some time with us tonight, Megan, and we'll keep an eye out for you as the year goes on, because we're definitely going to be covering the Super Cup Series.
No doubt about it.
All right, thank you guys very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Megan Rittenhour.
Yeah,
Super Cup.
Well, actually, you know, she didn't just climb out of that little truck into those. She did run some late model stuff, too. Super late model stuff, as a matter of fact, up at Kilcare Speedway. But, it's still, even jumping from the late model into one of these old Pro Cup cars, man, that's a step up.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, even though a lot of the super late model guys will tell you they drive like a tank, they're still, I mean, with the smaller tracks, there's a lot of horsepower in those cars.
You know, next week on Real Racing USA Live, we're going to be doing some stuff with the Rattler out at South Alabama Speedway. We're going to be talking to people that run the place and some of the drivers that have starred in that event over the years.
The Rattler's almost as big in Alabama as the Snowball Derby is,
yep,
in Pensacola. Yeah,
up there in South Alabama Speedway. We're also, next week, we're going to be talking with a young lady named Rachel York from South Haven, Mississippi. She is going to, remember last year we talked to Christy Hudson with the AMP Dirt Late Model Series out there in Arkansas? And, she has her first female driver, and her name is Rachel York, and we're going to have her on next week.
Good deal.
Yeah, she's going to be driving the number 11 GRT-powered super late model at all of the races next year. And Rachel's been, you know, she's another up-and-coming young lady, and only she's races on dirt.
You know, we're starting to see, you know, we had that influx of kids racing everywhere.
Yeah.
Kids everywhere. Now you're starting to see, and these young ladies that we're talking to now aren't really kids anymore.
No.
No. These are young ladies that
Absolutely.
Have got experience Absolutely. Under her belt, like Megan. You know, she's got championship after championship after championship. You know, in the smaller cars and classes and stuff, but still,
She's an upfront runner. She's got a lot of experience. Maybe NASCAR needs to take a look at this, or Hooters or somebody, and start this all-female division
I'm
you've been talking
you,
about.
It's a no-brainer, man. Yep. It's you know, and much to I'm
and
sure,
think of the products they could sell. The product sponsorship. I mean, it's crazy.
It opens up a whole nother.
I wish I had a couple $1 million.
I'm telling you.
I'd love, you know.
This is the best idea since.
Maybe we need to get Dennis Huth back on the phone.
I'm telling you, this is the best idea since putting chimpanzees on zebras. You never heard of that one, did you?
The Horse and Monkey Show?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Paramutual.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The jockeys are like these chimps, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. This is a better idea.
Ostrich racing.
Yeah, the ostrich racing. But much to our buddy Terry Wall's chagrin, these young ladies are coming. And you know what's funny? I mean, let's face it. The world is changing. I mean, women are even running for president. You know what I mean?
Oh, no doubt. And running up front, too. Scary, scary.
Yeah, but like she said, she's used to running up front.
Yeah.
And this is going to be an interesting thing to watch to see if she can do that.
I'd like to get some more information on this ARCA truck series myself. So, you know, we've got all these people running the fast trucks and all these truck series down here. I think this would be a much more affordable type of series, you know, instead of the big V8 powered full-sized trucks. They're just a little smaller, V6s, and I believe they'd probably be more competitive.
Yeah, well, we're speaking of this AMP Dirt Late Model Series. We're going to come back with one of the drivers that is probably going to be one of the names we're going to hear all year long in this series out there in Arkansas and Mississippi, where you know dirt is king out there. They don't have time for asphalt tracks out there, man. They just
starting like, to be king all, down here. Isn't it?
It's all dirt, you know. But tell you what, why don't we take a break? See if I can get all this stuff for work here, and I bet I can if I'm really clever here. Let's see.
Hit that button. Hit that button.
Need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Hi, I'm Ray Cook, driver of the number 53 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to Five Star Race Car Bodies. Five Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, Five Star has one driving passion, to help you win. Five Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
We are back. I think we're back.
We're back?
Yeah, we're back.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Okay.
We'll get all that straightened out next week. I'm telling you, we got all this new stuff, and we haven't figured out how to use it yet.
Yeah, well.
It's like having traction control, and you're not used to it. You know?
The new traction control, not the old traction control.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
I want somebody to get popped for traction control. I swear, I think it would be just the biggest, coolest story. Give race fans something to talk about.
They can't find it. There is no traction control.
It's like it's like UFOs, right?
Right. There is no traction control. Unless you go to, there's no speedways named 51, so it wouldn't be Speedway 51. But, traction control. Been around forever. I'd like somebody to explain it to me. And we had the best tech director ever out of all stock car racing, Fritz Augustine, on, and he couldn't explain it to us, or he didn't want to explain it to us. So
I'll tell you what, we have from the AMP Dirt Late Model Series out there in Arkansas and Mississippi, we have Alan Tippett on with us. Alan, we're sitting here arguing about traction control. You know anything about that?
No.
There's no traction control in dirt late models, right?
No. I never heard of it.
So how you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good. What about y'all?
We're doing good. Where exactly are you at?
I'm in Minden, Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana. Okay.
Right out of Shreveport.
All right. Now, you race, you've been racing dirt late models a while?
Since 2000.
Yeah, well, that's a while.
Yeah, I ran a local series for a while, and then I picked up on the Super Series right around 2005 and kind of hit and miss from there. And then last year, I run the full circuit.
Yeah, we just finished up the Lucas Dirt Late Model Series down here at East Bay, and for the first time ever in his career, Scott Blomquist was on his roof.
Really?
Yeah. But, and he was a little embarrassed.
It wasn't, of course, it wasn't his fault now.
Yeah. A double flip.
Ooh.
Yeah. He wasn't too happy about that.
No, that's one thing. I've been racing for 13 years now, and that's one thing that hadn't happened to me is been on my roof yet, but it's coming.
You know, Alan, that's actually an unusual thing for the dirt late models to see them flip like that because they're so wide and they cover so much of the track surface.
Right. It's very rare. I've seen it a couple times, you know, but it's very rare that happens.
Yeah, it's usually a violent collision that causes that.
Yep.
Well, you remember that time?
That's the time it involves a wall.
Yeah, right.
Well, remember that time they had that rut down there in Turn 1 at East Bay? That late model, there was a late model going into Turn 1, and all of a sudden it went skyward like a rocket, man. It was unbelievable. Just Went up in the air and flipped, yeah. But so you're going to be racing all year long. You're going to be racing in this AMP Dirt Late Model Series out in Arkansas and in Mississippi and around there?
Right, right, yeah. This will be my first year running with them. I run a couple of versus races with them when I was running Super, and but this year I'm going to try to run the whole, or I am going to run the whole circuit.
Now, what attracted you to that series?
Do I now?
What attracted you to the AMP series?
Well, one of the main things really is Super. I run Super, and don't get me wrong. I mean, not down to Super. It's a good series, but their schedule was like 40 races. Well, AMP is like 21, and AMP was a better series to me looking at it. I run Super last year and ended up second in points, but that was just a big struggle trying to work and be a weekend racer. The main thing, it wasn't me exactly, it was my help. Trying to get them, you know, to get off work and all that stuff was a big struggle. And with AMP being the 21 races, it to me, it was more for me. And they got a little bit different rules, you know, as far as tire rules and all. And to me, it's a spent saver as far as super trying to run 40 races with Super with the tire rule and all. It was just a big expense, you know. And not only with the help, you know, as far as AMP goes, the tire rule was a big help. That was the main thing, really, was the races.
No,
as far as 40 compared to 21, I mean, you know, that's a big difference when you're trying to work during the week.
No doubt about it, man. Now, you're running Super late models, right, not crates?
No, Super. It was Southern United Professional Racing.
Now, that's, I mean, a Super late model, not a crate late model.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, that's a lot of races for a Super late model. That's a lot of expense.
How many races were there?
On the schedule, I think it was 40. I think we actually raced like 36, you know.
Well, that's like Lucas Oil and stuff. That's what they do, don't they?
Oh, yeah, and that was the problem, I mean, with me. Which Super has went to a regional deal where they got like 12 races in each region, and then not count. I don't believe that's counting the versus races, but they have like 12 races in each region, and you can run just one region. But I was going to try to run for the overall points last year, so I tried to run all of it, which to me was a big struggle as far as with my hip. You know, me, I could get off work with my job, but a lot of my help, they couldn't, and that turned into a big problem.
Right. Well, if you don't have the high-dollar crew and all that, you know, paid for by the big sponsor, that's going to be tough.
Right. If I had the big sponsors where I could – don't get me wrong now, I'd love to do it every week, you know, all the time. But as far as having the big sponsors to be able to do it, no, I couldn't. It was a pretty good struggle.
Now, did you run this whole series with just one car?
No, I have two cars.
Okay.
Now, last year was my first time to have two cars. I got a new car last year, and 2006 I had a good season in my old car. I got an old GRT, a 99 model late GRT, and last year, or 2006, I had a good season, and I ended up, my dad, he's one of my main sponsors, and we ended up getting a new car, and last year I run both cars, and that helped out a lot, really. Rather than trying to keep one car up all the time, you know, you could have two, one for a backup. And so this year, I had about eight races on my new car last year, but this year I'm going to have them both ready where I can be ready to try to run for a championship in this AMP series.
Now tell me a little bit about the different setups for the different dirt tracks.
Well, to me, late model-wise, the only thing I've had is a GRT. And I mean, a lot of guys probably make a lot of changes. But me, when you get a car right, there's not a whole lot of changing that you can do besides gear-wise, you know, and maybe on the shop package a little bit. But as far as major changes, no. If you get it right, I don't think you have to do a lot of changing, you know. That's my personal opinion. A lot of guys, you'll see them thrashing at the racetrack and all, but to me, you know, with my experience, like I said, I've only run a GRT chassis. And with me, with that old car, I felt comfortable in it. I got it right. I had it, you know, pretty even there as far as different racetracks. I could pretty much change gear, maybe a spring here or two. But not nothing major, you know.
You know,
so
I don't particularly think there's a whole lot of changing going on. If you get your car right, I mean, you might be way off in left field, and you have to do a lot of changing. But once you get it and get it dialed in, I don't particularly think you have to do a whole lot of changing.
Alan, let's talk about this chassis stuff. Now, we have a pretty good friend who's one of the best announcers in Florida, actually, and around the South. He's a really exciting guy, and so they brought him to come in down to East Bay to work down there, and he's down there starting off his first week with the Lucas Oil late model series, right? And he's got some help up there, but he's starting to announce this thing, and he made a mistake and called, said somebody was driving one kind of chassis when they were driving another, and he had fans all giving him all kinds of what for and cussing him out and everything. And
really?
Yeah, you got these different kind of chassis, right? Give us the thumbnail for people that don't know, like myself. Tell us about the different chassis and what's the deal with the dirt late model chassis.
Well, it's kind of, you get committed to running a chassis. Like with me, I like GRTs, but I have not ever run anything else. I take that back. I run a Raven for a guy, Ricky Gyres. He's got a race team. Jeff Chandler, he's out of Mendon, Louisiana. He raced for Ricky. Well, we was in the same shop together, so he had an extra car, so I kind of drove it a little bit here and there, the Raven chassis. But I felt more comfortable. Maybe it's because I had my GRT so long, I don't know. But I felt more comfortable with my GRT than I did the Raven. But there's so many different chassis, and I don't really know why, as far as fans get, I mean, unless they know something about them, they really don't. You know, a lot of people down here, you know, as fan-wise, don't really know the difference between a GRT or a Raven or a Masterbuilt, a Rocket, you know.
Well,
unless you're involved into it a little deeper in the pit.
These people that show up at East Bay for the Lucas Oil late models, these people are fanatics. They know everything. I mean, that's what they do.
They
go
back to Hava Tampa days.
I mean, they go way back.
And don't put somebody in a Raven car that's in a Rocket.
Don't even say that. So yeah. So you got GRT, you got Raven, you got Rocket. What are some of the other big ones?
Let's see, GRT, Raven, Rocket, Masterbuilt. That's probably the bigger names as far as the, you know, I know there's some more chassis out there, but I don't know of them exactly what they are, you know.
And then guys.
Larry Shaw's, Larry Shaw's a big name too, you know.
Yeah.
And, but I think Larry Shaw now is more concentrating on modifieds. I might be wrong by that, but I don't have no dealings with them, so I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
As far as seeing them at the racetrack, I know GRT in the southern area is a popular chassis.
Yeah, sure it is.
So it's something kind of like people get used to a certain kind of chassis, and that's all they're going to drive, and that's it.
That's right.
Okay, all right, I got you.
Now let me ask you this, Alan. Is the car hooked up when the left front's coming off the ground out of turn two?
Yeah, to a point. To a point. Now, I have to go back. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, you know, and I mean, I ain't comparing to Bloomquist by no means, but because, I mean, he's like the king of late models. But he's the type of guy that if four wheels on the ground, has got to be faster than three. I mean, that's just, and I'm kind of that way, too, you know. A lot of guys, they'll get them toting left front, but when you get to a point, when it gets so high, you're out of control, you know, and to me, I kind of try to keep it calm. I like it to get hiked up, but I really don't like that left front to come way high off the ground.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, that's interesting you brought that up, Rick, because, you know, at East Bay this week, and we go there every year for the Lucas Oil or whatever happens to be the big late model deal of the year. And, you know, we were there twice, and I'm out in turn two in the infield taking pictures or whatever, and we're on turn two, and I'm – this year, for the first time, I really noticed the guys who were running up front
had all four on the ground.
They had all four on the ground. It was the guys in the mid and the back of the pack that were coming off looking like they were ready to go sailing.
That's right. Three wheels. I mean, like I say, you know, when you get up on three wheels, to me, to a point, you know, you're going to tote it a little bit. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but at midpoints of the track, you're going to pick it up some. I mean, you know, but it depends on the track surface, too. But to me, when you get up on three wheels, the experience I've had, you get out of control. And when you set it down going into a corner, especially on short tracks, you really don't know which way that car is going to go. And it's kind of driving on the edge to me. I really don't like it. I mean, I'm more of the four wheels on the ground, you know.
Do you feel it?
Yeah, you can feel it. Yeah, and when you set it down, you can really feel it. Especially if you get the left front way up in the air and you're going into the corner and you set it down, you can feel it. It upsets the car, you know.
Yeah, because that tire's not spinning at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
It's just a shock to the chassis, to the suspension, to me, you know. And like I say, you know, I ain't nowhere compared to Scott and them, but that's what I try to listen to because,
yeah,
they say I try to go by because, well, they're the guys that know.
Yeah, you'd have liked this Saturday night at East Bay. Billy Moyer started, I think he started in the first or second, third row. He started right up there up front somewhere. And, of course, he won all the money just about all week long.
40 grand.
Yeah, he won like 40 really? Grand. But he won Saturday night at East Bay in the Lucas Oil 8 miles. And then, but the coolest thing was Earl Pearson started at the rear. Earl Pearson Jr. started at the rear. He came in second. And he was running down Moyer, and he didn't have his front wheel off the ground.
No, he was probably hooked up. I mean, I didn't see the race, but I imagine if he had all four on there and he was moving like that, he had it going on pretty good.
Now, have you ever done any racing at East Bay?
No, I have not. Mainly, I've been around Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi. Been in Alabama a little bit and Louisiana. That's about it. That's about as far as I've been.
So what are your expectations here going into this AMP series, the Dirt Late Model series out there that Christy Hudson is running?
Well, I mean, that's my goal. I'm going to try to go for a championship, you know, and I'm just going to, well, she does a lot more. Christy promotes to me. She promotes. I mean, I just announced that I was going to AMP probably 2 weeks ago, and I've talked to Christy more than I've ever talked to any other promoter. And she just works hard and tries hard. And to me, promoter trying to do that, you know, to me, it's just going to make me better. It's going to get my name out more. Oh, like the radio, like this deal, for instance. I mean, I've never in my whole 13 years of racing been asked to be on a radio show, or you know, and with her, she's just been trying hard. And that's just in the last couple of weeks, you know. So I'm excited about going forward with her and see what happens. And but I think it's going to be a good year, and my plan is to go for a championship, an AMP championship.
Now, in 13 years of racing, Alan, how important and how much does it, you know, the comfort level and everything make you feel with a promoter that calls you and asks you to race with them?
Oh, it makes you feel good. I mean, it's a lot different, you know. When she calls me and she talks to me and she's down, you know, down to earth, she's real down to earth. She's level-headed, you know, and she asks your opinion, and, you know, that's a big deal to me, you know, somebody that calls you, a promoter, and asks you what you think, you know. To me, that's just a big deal, and I never did really get that before, and so, I mean, I think she's got a good career ahead of her. I mean, you know, right now she might be, you know, struggling a little bit, trying to get sponsors, you know, trying to make everything work out, but I really think the way she's doing stuff, if she's going the way she's going, I think she's going to everything's going to come out good for her.
Well, you know,
I think she's headed to the big time myself.
Absolutely. She is one of the best that we've run across. She contacted us early last year. We didn't find her, you know. She came and tracked us down, and we've started interviewing. We interviewed her, and we've talked to many of the drivers in the series as we go along. We're going to do a lot more of it this year because, you know, it when you're in the media doing this, you really notice the promoters that go out of their way to promote their drivers in their series. You know, they don't just sit back and try to do it the easy way. They work at it, and they stand out to us as well, and we appreciate it just like you do.
Right. I mean, tell you the truth, I'm excited. I'm pumped up about it. I'm ready to go. I mean, this is, like I told you, you know, this is just 2 weeks that I've talked to Christy. I mean, I got a guy here, one of my guys that goes with me to the races all the time. He talked to her all last year, and I paid attention to what was going on in these other series. Because I was looking for what was best for me, and considering, you know, having a job and all that stuff, trying to work, race on weekends, well, I was trying to compare to what would be best for me and my race team. Well, Christy, she just acted like she was putting in a 110% effort on everything she does, on the promoting, you know, trying to get drivers in there, trying to get sponsors, and there wasn't no questions asked whenever I – this year, when I got to talking about it and got to comparing what was best for me, I mean, it just wasn't no questions asked. I mean, to me, this series here is going to end up being a big series, you know. Especially the way she's the effort she's putting in on it.
All right.
I think so.
Good deal.
I think so.
All right, Alan, I appreciate you spending some time with us, man. We were having a little bit of trouble hooking up with you. It was on our end, and that's why we had you call us. But we're up.
No problem.
Yeah, we're coming to the end of our show tonight, but we'll be, you know, following up on what you guys are doing, and I'm sure I have no doubt we'll be talking to you again as the year goes along.
Real quick, Alan, you want to throw some of your sponsors out there?
Yeah. I'd like to thank my dad, Troy Tippin. Yeah, he's Troy Tippin Racing. That's what's on the side of my car. That's my dad there. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be where I was at today. Smith Towing, that's Barry Smith. He owns it. Smith Towing there. He goes with me. We run 41 races last year, and he didn't miss a race. PTS Racing Engine, awesome power. I've been racing 13 years, and that guy there, John McLemore, he's always been there for me, you know, whenever I had problems in the middle of the week or whatever. But anyway, those guys there, they're the one that helps me make it from week to week, and I sure appreciate it.
All right. Alan, thank you very much for spending some time.
You're a great interview, Alan.
We'll talk to you again soon, man. Go get them.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Alan Tippin from the AMP Dirt Late
Model
Series.
A lot of excitement in that series,
absolutely,
man. We need to get Christy back on here in the next week or two and talk to her a little bit along with some more of her drivers.
Absolutely.
I heard a rumor that we might have the guy from Boston on next week.
We're working on it.
We got to get the delay working. And
it is a family show.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
we'll have it on later. But as we go out of here, I'll tell you what, you know, our buddy Dan Toler, who we use a lot of his music is heard.
Oh yeah,
the former guitarist for the Allman Brothers and played with Dickie Betts for years, and of course has his own CDs and whatnot. Uh-huh. He has a new deal. A bunch of his buddies from the old days of Southern Rock put together an album. It's and the whole deal is Brothers of the Southland.
Uh-huh.
You can go on MySpace/ Brothers of the Southland.
Uh-huh.
Get hear some of the songs. Get a CD. We're going to play a couple songs here as we go out, and then we got an interview coming right after that with Earl Pearson and some other Asphalt and Dirt Late Model stars.
All right.
How's that?
This has been Real Racing USA Tuesday night. We'll talk to you next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m., right here on the Real Racing USA Networks. Good night now.
Learning lessons of the heart, a recent revelation. I found a place to start. Dixie Highway.